If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the ones, the onlys, Allie Lutz and Melissa Platt.
Woo! Excited to be here.
The agency is in the house, people. What is going on? How are you guys? I mean, how's it going?
It's been a rush. It's been a wild since we premiered. I mean, people are reaching out from people I haven't heard from in years, and it's weird, but it's crazy, and we're getting great feedback.
Have you guys heard from any clients that like maybe didn't, you know, that one part of the show that like didn't know that you were doing this, and what do they say about this?
I've had like a really good response from clients. Shocking, because I know how reality TV can be, and I was pleasantly surprised with the responses. I maybe had a handful, not clients, but just randoms that had something to say, but quickly squashed that when I responded. I think a lot of people just want to like hate on stuff because it's fun behind your, you know, computers and phones, but clients have been so receptive. Really excited. I've had some people that have reached out and been like, wow, like I would love to work with you. So for me, it's been a really positive experience.
That's good.
Yeah.
What about you, Melissa?
I would say the same. I've had clients reach out because, you know, when we were filming, we're in deals, right? Because this is our job. And so when we ask some clients, can we film? It's totally understandable. Some clients are hesitant because they don't know what the show is going to be like. But since the show has aired, I've gotten calls from those same clients, even though, you know, we've sold and closed those listings, but they're like, oh, you know, I wish I really would have known what it would have been like, because I would have for sure been on it. So hopefully next season that, you know, people are more trusting and know what the show's about and want to be on it.
Did you guys have reservations? Because like, you know, you are business women. Like this is your real business. Like you said, Allie, reality TV. Like, did you have any reservations in joining the show?
Yes. Especially because I got a call. I got the call from Netflix when I was literally like 12 months pregnant, on my, you know, vacation with my kids in Hawaii and my whole family. And they're like, hey, we heard you're pregnant with your third. We still really want you to do it. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, like the last thing you want to do in that state is do anything like, you know, where the whole world's watching you. And they're like, if we're going to start filming, you know, it was like October something. It was literally, or it was September, it was right before I was giving birth to my third baby. And so I was like, oh, the timing can also be worse. And I remember Marisa.
She's like, my Botox, my hair, like, what am I going to do?
So yes, I had reservations for a lot of reasons. But number one, I told Mo, I said, listen, I worked really hard to get to where I am. And I know how reality TV can be. And I know that people can cut and edit and make you part of their storyline and fit you in a way to, you know, create ratings. And I said, I don't want to be set up for something like that, because I, like I said, I worked really hard. I want my family to feel proud. I want my kids to be proud of their mom. So it was really important to me that they really showed us in our true light. You know, of course we filmed a lot of footage that didn't get aired. So I actually filmed a lot of transactions, a lot of stuff with clients. Unfortunately, not all of it makes it. And so, yes, I was worried, but Mo was like, you know, even if you just film a little bit and get introduced for the season, I think it's worth doing. So I took a leap of faith and said, all right, well, I trust Mo, and I trusted, you know, his hope and vision for the company. I don't think he wants to see the company being, you know, shown in a light where we're going to, you know, avoid, clients are going to want to avoid working with us. So I took a leap of faith. I did it, but yes, a lot of reservations. Listen, I'm sure same for you.
I was more like, you know what? Experience of a lifetime, which is crazy. Once we did get the call, like, hey, you're the chosen one. You're going to be a main cast member on a Netflix show. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is really happening. But the thing is that we really do all work together.
Yeah.
I've been with the company for 10 years. You know, the Umanskys are literally family to me. So I was excited more than anything. Of course, there's nerves there. I'm not going to be like, oh, I wasn't nervous. But, you know, I talk to these people like every day. So the comfort of that was, you know, easing me. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a weird experience because you're mic'd up, but you're still going and doing your everyday job. It's just, that's an added element to it. But I'm happy that it all looked really good. And obviously we all know each other really well. So at least it showed.
Do you guys have a high from this season? Like just something that stands out as like one of the best parts about being part of this first season?
A high.
That's a lot.
My high, you know what my high was? For all the flack I got for like pushing Farrah and all the things, I'm so glad that it ended so well for her. You know, one thing, I'll share something with you guys that maybe not a lot of people know. That house that she lives in is the house I actually lived in with my ex. So her fiance's house is literally my ex's home that we lived together in when we broke up and I left him for good. And I will say, I told her, I go, Farrah, you know what? I hope this house brings you better memories and fortune and all the things and love and happiness. And I'm happy to say it did. It did. She got engaged after all of that. So it was a happy ending. Well, not an ending yet. There's still more. But that was a high for me. I was really happy about that for her. So made me feel good.
That's a good one. Did you have any highs, Melissa?
I honestly, the whole show was a high for me. I think something, I'm really happy with how I was portrayed. Obviously, you know, it was, did you see it? Did you watch
it? I
the
did.
Show?
I watched the whole thing.
Okay, good. Love it. Love it. I give a lot of tough love and I'm happy that, you know, Alexia and I were able to talk all that out. And some people might think a high for them was, you know, selling a crazy house, which is amazing. But like, I take pride in like my relationships and my friendships and everything. So a high for me was that everything got resolved and it was shown that it got resolved. But putting that stuff aside, I would say a high for me was I'm a fantastic buyer's agent and that really was shown, you know, and I'm happy that they showed me showing my client the $79 million listing. It's a high for me because people are like, wow, she really is a badass realtor and has legit clients. So that was special for me.
Were you shocked, like you mentioned this with Alexia, it all worked out? Like, were you shocked that just one grade of giving a B+, which really was a C, that this became a whole big thing?
Yeah, I mean, but I get it. And I learned my lesson because I shouldn't have told in confidence, you know, two people, Sonica and Brandon, how I was feeling, because I told them I was going to tell Alexia and they went and told her first. And that's the problem you deal with, not just in, you know, our company and any company. It's like, you can't trust people right off the bat. And it showed me that it was a huge lesson moving forward. Yeah. I give tough love. Yeah. I'm honest. However, in that situation, I wasn't, and I was kicked in the ass for it. So learned my lesson. Don't trust everybody, because you never know how they're going to spin it.
You never know how they're going to spin it. And for you, Allie, I mean, you did give, you know, we saw you pregnant. So that's got to be a high too. Like, you have this home movie of just, you know.
Yes. In fact, you know what though? What I'm bummed about is like, I gave them footage of me actually giving birth. Like, I was the day after that open house, the first scene you see in Buying Beverly Hills, I am very pregnant, right? I'm talking about like, I got a basketball on my belly and whatnot. But that was the day before I gave birth. So like, I was literally about to pop and I wasn't even supposed to be there. And I'm like, well, I haven't given birth yet. I was past
filming
so
a show.
I guess I'll come. And I'm like, I hope my water doesn't break on here. But yes, seeing myself pregnant, having the baby, being featured on that was really special. There were some moments with the kids that I really wish would have been aired. I know people were like, oh, like I heard your podcast, by the way, previous one about the show, being like, I really want to see people with their kids. My kids, people want to see. They're really cute. They're really,
really
fun.
Cute.
They've got a little bit of my personality. So like, they're more entertaining. But it was a high to have that aspect on the show, and I'm really glad they got to see a glimpse of my own, my personal life too. And hopefully there'll be more, expansion on who we are as individuals and some fun things that we're part of and more of the day to day.
Whose podcast did you hear that they said that they don't want to see
Your
kids?
podcast. So it's so funny. Before we came on here, I was like, what are we doing? Whose podcast? Literally an hour ago. And she's like, oh yeah, we're being filmed. I'm like, oh shh, I had to run home and like put like clothes on. I had workers at the office earlier. Anyway, so I did. I took a little peek, and I saw Buying Beverly Hills, on the
I watched it
Oh,
too.
okay. Yeah, I
And
know.
I did
Yes.
hear you say that you weren't so sure about the show, which, hey, listen, it's not for everybody, but yeah, I'm curious to know what
Well,
your
that's
thoughts
when he hadn't
are.
seen it yet.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you. Two
His
things.
first impression,
First
his
of
first
all,
impression might have been.
I love that out of all the great interviews I did with all these great reality TV stars, many from Netflix. Yes, you listen to an episode where A,
Had to. I had
the,
to.
We did
I
our
know.
homework.
Yeah, you guys are like calling me out, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I was talking about the Orange County
Yes.
Housewives, where I was
Yeah.
saying I don't need to see certain people's
I get
children
it. Yes,
anymore. And like,
yes.
but I did say, no, with Buying Beverly Hills, I did say, like, I haven't watched it. I said, like, look, I can't really watch everything, if I'm going to interview
Of
people.
course.
So I didn't get around to it. I don't know. But then when that you guys were scheduled, I was like, I usually watch an episode. I've watched all eight. So I was wrong. I stand corrected. I thought I would just, watch the one. It's a great show. It's a great show
It's easy
for a
to
lot of
binge.
reasons.
It's a page turner. I totally get
Can
that.
we spend this on you? What do you wish you saw more of
Great
in
question.
Beverly Hills that you didn't see, or maybe you saw a little bit, wish you would have saw more? Well, you know what it is like for me, it was just like, look, we've had, and we'll get into this later in this show too, because I got some questions. But, like, look,
Okay.
I think Million Dollar Listing LA is great. I think Selling Sunset is brilliant. I think Selling the OC is phenomenal. All so it's just like, oh, how is Buying Beverly Hills going to be different than Selling Sunset or even like Selling the OC? So I went in skeptical, not that I wouldn't like it because I love the others. I just didn't think I would like it as much, but here it is. I look, I think I would have loved to have seen more of the two of you. You know what I mean? It was a lot. And listen, this is how it works, right? We're season one. It was a lot of Farrah and Alexia, and I totally get that it was great, but I would love to see more of the two of you. And I'm not just saying that because you're here. I think it's we're getting to know all there's a lot of agents that are featured on the show, and that's what a season two is for, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we think that too. We want to be here. We have a lot to share.
Yeah, and I think like you learn certain, you get to know certain people in season one, and then you see more of others in season two. So I think
Yeah, of
just
course.
that's what I would like.
Yeah.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body. And I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar. And my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE. I'm always talking about how I have nobody in my life and I'm on a fast track to die alone. Well, listen, it's not exactly true because there is someone in my life I really care about, our family cat, Loka. And I have to tell you, Loka's old cat food would stink. Really, it was disgusting. And if you think I went anywhere near that, you're sadly mistaken. But all that's now different because of Smalls. Now, I like high-end stuff. I guess I'm kind of a snob like that, and that's why I love Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients that you actually find in your own fridge, and it's delivered right to your front door. So if you're lazy or busy like me, hello, this podcast is 5 days a week, it comes right to your front door. The food actually looks like food that actual people eat. So head over to smalls.com/velvet and use promo code velvet at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code velvet. You get 50% off with the code velvet. Go to smalls.com/velvet, enter code velvet for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Have you guys heard our epic interview with Snooki, which was on our podcast a few months ago? And we just sat down with Dina too. We're going to be sharing that soon. Listen, I still love the cast of Jersey Shore, Pauly D, JWoww, Mike, The Situation. And listen, how excited are you that Jersey Shore Family Vacation is back in our lives? Did you guys love the premiere last week? Well, this Thursday is an all new episode. And this season is going to be great. They're talking pregnancy announcements and engagement. They go to LA to support Vinny and Dancing with the Stars. Love Vinny on Dancing with the Stars. Of course, they're fist pumping. They're going to do some GTL. I mean, lots of meatball madness. This is one of the classic reality shows. So listen, all new episode this Thursday. Make sure to watch Jersey Shore Family Vacation. The premiere was last week and it's back this Thursday on MTV at 8/7 Central. Well, you know, speaking of that, you know, Melissa, you did say that this was all innocent and you worked it out with Alexia, but then Ben comes out and says, you know, many times, I don't think it was once, I think it was like 3 or 4 times that you were a social climber and implying that you created this whole thing just for your own clout. Like, what do you say to that? And why is Ben saying this? See, I really did watch it.
Yeah. So again, I've been with the company for a long time. And the thing is with Ben, for some reason, we've never clicked, okay? Like, it's always kind of been like that with me and Ben. And, you know, I called him, one of my friends said, Ben is a NARP. And I was like, what's a NARP? And it's not a real person. And I call him that. I'm like, you're a NARP. Like, I don't know you. Like, I can connect with anyone. I can connect with a tree, okay? And some reason with Ben, we just never meshed. And yes, we do get, you know, closer on the show. However, you know, like, he doesn't know me. He's never given me the chance to know me. And there was a scene that didn't make it and he kind of calls me out, and I'm hoping more of that shows for next season. But I confront him and I'm like, listen, you've never taken the chance to know me, so you don't know if I'm a social climber or not. And the thing is with me is, you know, born and raised in a small town in Texas, moved to LA. And when I'm friends with someone, it's because they're a cool person. It's not because they have X amount of followers or they're on this movie or TV show. If I click with someone, it's because I genuinely like them. And so I think people see when I'm with people who have like a high following or they're on whatever, they think I'm just using them to get something, when in reality, there we go, I just enjoy their company. So he doesn't know me. He can't say that.
I will jump in and say Melissa is like such a good friend. Like, she is the type of girl that, like, I mean, she will do anything for you. I mean, she's like at the drop of a hat, like, she will do anything you ask, like, not anything you ask her, but like, if you really need help, she's the friend you want, because she will go above and beyond to show that she is a genuine, loyal, loving friend. So I have to jump in.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That is real life.
Yeah. So Ben and I mean, we talked a little bit, but we clearly more to figure out, because I did not know he said all that shit about me off camera.
And it all worked out, because I mean, look, we see Alexia. She really just wants everyone to be honest with her. And you were.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, take me down this road, because I do, you know, listen, Brandon even brought it up. Joey even said it. And I tend to agree with them on this, not against you, but Justin, take me through the mindset of how can you disagree with Alexia, have an argument with Farrah? How does this work? I mean, they're the boss's daughters. How is Mauricio not going to side with them? Like, how does this work in the office dynamics? I mean, I watch the show, but mm-hmm. I tend to just still not understand how, if there's a real conflict in the office, how this all plays out.
Okay, so let me understand your question. Okay, so you're saying how, if there's an argument within the office, how it gets
We'll say you have a problem with Alexia, or Brandon does, or Joe, or any of these other featured agents or not agents. Like, How is this, like, how do you go to the boss? The boss, the boss,
I get
the
it.
Boss Mauricio. How is this ever going to be decided upon in a way that is not in Alexia or Farrah's favor?
I get what you're saying, because people tiptoe around them. Is that what you mean? And like, if there's an issue, they don't bring it up to them, or they just let it slide because they either feel like their career is in jeopardy or just of who they are, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like if I worked there and say I had a problem with Allie, I would say this is a problem and it's a real business issue and I'm going to go to Mauricio. If I have the same problem, me personally, with, say, Alexia, I'm not going to Mauricio. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if I have a problem with, well, again, Alexia and I did go, you know, through our issue and we ended up resolving it with each other. But, you know, we're close enough to those girls where we would go to them and say if we had a problem. And if it was a real issue, you know, Mauricio is like a father to all of us, and we would have a very level ground conversation and talk things through. But I think that other people, for sure, if there's issues, or like Brandon said, and you see it on the show, it feels like people tiptoe around them and can't be honest with them. Or if there's a problem, they can't talk it through because it's awkward, right? But I think Allie and I are very stand-up people. If there's an issue, we take care of it and figure it out.
You agree with all that, Allie?
Yeah, so honestly, I will say this. I have also been with the company since, you know, we had our one office in Beverly Hills, one in Brentwood. It's
dropping earbuds, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's okay.
All falling apart.
Yeah.
We've been with them for such a long time. I think that most of us, even the people that haven't been with the company for a long time, feel like Mo is like genuinely like a father figure, or, you know, family's family. But I will say with Alexia, she really is like his baby, and they are so much alike. And I think because of that, you're a little scared to say certain things because you don't want the backlash, for sure, of Mo. I mean, listen, I would be defensive of my own kid too. They're your children.
Yeah, exactly.
You want them to be, to do their best. You want them to be shown as best. You think they're the most incredible, you know, creatures on this planet a lot of the times because they're your babies. And like I said, they're very similar. But yes, people are very scared to just like come out and say, hey, listen, I don't know if it's really right for us. Like, listen, I was questioning, should she be holding their listing? Is she ready? I mean, I know some people look at real estate like it's just an easy, you know, plug and play situation, but there's a lot more that's involved in these transactions that people don't see, that you can't show, you know? So it's the biggest purchase of most people's lives. And you know, you can legally get in trouble. So it's not something you want to take lightly. You want to make sure you're groomed, prepared, and then your butt is covered. So I think we're more so like looking out for her too. We want her to do a good job. We wanted her to succeed in this business, but we also don't want to just give her the easy way out. I mean, you're not going to learn.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And I think bouncing off of Allie's comment real quick is, you know, when I was watching the show and there was a part where Sonica and Alexia are talking in the office and she tells her, I gave her a C, and Alexia's crying and Sonica says, you know, be confident in your answer. Say it's Carrera, done. And I'm like, no. If it's not Carrera, or she said it's Calcutta, done. I go, no. I was like, she's giving her the wrong advice. If you don't know the answer to something, like Allie said, you can get sued. You say, I don't know the answer, I'll get back to you. And that pissed me off because I wanted to jump through the screen and be like, no, you're giving her the wrong advice. So in a way, it was like Sonica was trying to tell, oh, it'll all be fine, everything's great. And that's, again, when we come into play and we're like, no, like, we're going to be tough on you. You don't do that. So
You mentioned, yes, I agree with all that. You did say, I guess, when you guys had that conversation, Melissa, you said, and I'm not just picking on you, and we are going to move on from this topic afterwards, but you then told Alexia, see, like, you asked me if I watched, I have watched. You said to Alexia, you know, you just, is this the right career for you? Is real estate the right career? You don't know if it is. Like, do you still stand by that? And what do you guys think about Alexia's future in real estate?
So the reason I brought that up is because, again, her family is very successful in real estate. And I wanted to have a really honest moment with her and, in a way, be like, listen, if you feel like you're pushed into this or you're rushing this and it's not right for you, it's okay. And just say, listen, it isn't right for me and I don't like it. But how do I say this? I've really seen Alexia turn for the better honestly. And I think this show pushed her in so many great ways because she's working harder than I've ever seen before. I mean, she's taking notes, you know, she's doing her homework. She's really creative. And again, I'm that person that kept being like, listen, if it's not right for you, you can be honest and say this. And she was like, no, it's right for me. I want to show how I'm going to be good at my job. And again, her creativity is really taken over. And again, hopefully we get a second season and you'll see ways that she's really shined. And I'm not just saying that because she's one of my dear, dear friends and my best friend's younger sister. I really do see a huge change in her. So hopefully everyone will get to see that as well.
Wow. Yeah, I agree. And I think with time, you know, people really develop and become more confident. And I think, like I said, she's so similar to Mo.
Mm-hmm.
That can work in her favor. I mean, look at Mo. He's just the most personable. Once he sets his mind to something, I mean, the guy is, the possibilities are endless for that guy. And it's been so amazing to watch this company grow from the ground up. So I think for her, I mean, she's got a lot of those same principles and personality traits. And I think that can really be a benefit for her future. So I think it's,
she's putting the work in.
Yeah,
she's really putting the work in.
And I think
so,
watching the show for her was really hard to see herself flub and, you know, make these mistakes. And it really taught her, like, you know, how serious she needs to be. So I think it's been good for her.
Who do you guys think out of the junior agents besides Alexia, like Joey, Brandon, Sonico, who do you think shows the most promise?
Honestly, I think that Brandon and Joey, I mean, Joey, I know, like, he's a little tough guy, you know, like he wants to be taken seriously. I think he comes from like a good family. He's got like all these amazing connects. He was born and raised in in Beverly Hills. Like he's merged in it and he's really like, he's taken it very seriously. And I think that, I mean, Sonica is lovable. She's like the sweetest person that I know. I think she just, you know, she's still so new in it and she still has like other passions. So I'm curious to see where it goes. And Brandon, I mean, talk about a guy that's like, he knows he's got to put the work in and he's doing it, you know? And I think he wants to prove that like he is capable of becoming the next big thing here. And I think I give him a lot of credit because he's not from here. He's from, you know, Arizona, and he talks about how he was raised in a different, you know, setting. So I think he's very lovable and a hard worker too.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm so happy it's almost February because this month has been gangbusters work-wise, but I am so stressed out. Everyone has been on edge. Everyone has been cranky. And I'm sorry, I just need to take the edge off. It's a 5-day-a-week podcast and it ain't easy, guys. But let me tell you, Innovative Extracts has come to the rescue because they have the best quality CBD at literally the most competitive prices. And they have products that help you with everything I just described. I use it for my anxiety, my mood improvement. Hello. It also helps with inflammation and pain. And I mean, man, it really improves my sleep and I have trouble sleeping. They have something for everyone and it comes in like a variety of different forms that you can take it in. I personally love the gummies, but they have creams and vapes. They even have these drops that you can take under your tongue. They have a full line of Delta 8, 9, and 10 THC products, and they don't require any medical card. So it's so easy. They ship to most states. I cannot recommend these guys enough. But really the reason why you should choose Innovative Extracts is I am offering you 40% off. Go to www.ie-cbd.com and get 40% off. All you have to do is enter code VELVET at checkout. Make sure to enter code VELVET to get 40% off ie-cbd.com. Oh my God, are you guys loving The Real Friends of WeHo? I mean, we have a few episodes in. The drama is getting like more intense each episode, and I'm here in WeHo. So, I mean, I have to tell you, you cannot go to the bars, the restaurants. I mean, everyone is talking about this show. And between me and like all of my friends here, like we know these guys in real life and they're really just like they seem on the show. I mean, you guys also know Brad Goreski from Rachel Zoe. I mean, Fashion Police, Todrick Hall. Oh my God, there's so much out there about Todrick, James Vaughn, Curtis Hamilton, and Joey Zauzig. I mean, there's so much press about this show. I'm sure you guys are loving it. We're going to be breaking it down all season. Sorry, it's like the Gay Housewives. I've been waiting for this for years. And I also love how they break the fourth wall. I mean, I love how they're actually talking about the fact that they're famous and they're in the media. And, you know, that to me is such a unique take on a reality TV show. So don't miss The Real Friends of WeHo, all part of MTV's new Friday nights after RuPaul's Drag Race, this Friday at 9, 8 Central, an all-new episode episode on MTV. That's right. This Friday, 9, 8 Central, another new episode on MTV right after Drag Race.
What about, you know, we have seen from this season too, you know, listen, the agency, you guys work hard, but you play just as hard. There's lots of office romances and serious relationships and marriages and all this other stuff. Does that ever get in the way of business?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll speak the truth, of course, because, you know, in the office, everyone works out of the office usually. And so, yeah, if you're hooking up with someone in the office, like I've been there, you know, I was doing that for a little bit. And yeah, like you're more concerned with how you look when you're walking in the office. And then it's like, okay, I actually need to do my work now and not see if, you know, the person I, you know, it's with the night before is like looking at me. Yeah, of course it kind of can. That's
kind
maybe
of like
not,
yeah, a but, big, like, call it, you know, like an adult.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is. Cause we're all like
fraternity,
cool,
sorority.
And hip and young.
But we are truly, like, when I say, like, I think the difference between us and other brokers is like, this is real. Like, we genuinely all treat each other like we're family. And I don't know if you saw, follow us on social media, but we just had our forum. And we do this every year. We go to the desert and we spend a couple days listening to speakers, getting together, networking. It is a genuine like love fest. And I don't just mean like, you know, in an incestual way. I mean, like, we just all just genuinely care and love on each other. And I've never seen anything like it. I don't think it exists in any other brokerage. And what you saw on the show is like, it's real. We actually do work really hard. We're all real estate agents. And so I think that's also a big difference is that like, this is what we do. This is my business. This is how I earn a living. We all are very like-minded. So.
Well, yeah. And to jump on that, every Friday at 5 o'clock, we have tequila shots in our cute little agency shot classes. And it's just, and then usually it's like, okay, let's all go to happy hour. And let's, you know, have
a
good time.
When I got hired with Mauricio, I brought Broad in and I'm like, oh my gosh, the agency.
I remember that. I remember you when you came in. I didn't know you then. That's so funny. I was like,
and I remember walking in and, you know, I'm about to go in his office and all of a sudden it's like, you know, shot time and everyone's congregating in the center of the office and about to take shots. And they're like, he's like, you got to take a shot first. And I'm like, is this like a trick? You know, is he trying to like, I'm about to like take a shot before my interview. And no, it wasn't a trick. They're all about like having fun and, you know, being collaborative. And that's part of it. You got to bond with each other. You know, that's how we maintain.
But bond in a classy way, you know,
in like a classy
way.
What about, I know Alexia has a boyfriend at the current moment, but you know, do you feel the chemistry between Joey and Alexia, just like I do from sitting at home and watching this? And should they just get together?
You're funny.
Joey is like, he's very like sexual. Like, I don't know. Love you, Joey. Like,
he does flirt with all of us.
Very flirtatious. The things that he says, I'm like, did you just really say that? I mean, I've got 3 kids at home and I'm like, what? So yeah, I mean, he's got a way about him. You know, he's very like.
He's a little playboy.
He's a little playboy. I mean, I love Joey. I really do in real life. But listen, you've dated or been with somebody in the past. There's probably always going to be some kind of something there. So of course that.
Yeah. And they work so closely together.
Yeah. And I think they were thrown off. When you're in the show, you're submerged with each other. And all of a sudden this stuff comes up. That wasn't planned for it to just like happen. It did. It was real. And it was like, whoa. And yeah, I mean, discussions are going to be had. And I think the things they were talking about. Steamy.
You guys work all the time, so that's to be expected.
Yes.
We also saw, you know, we see Ben go through this. He's getting courted by, you know, Compass and like and Hilton and Highland. You know, where do you guys stand just in general on the, like, you know, I work for one brokerage, I'm getting called from another one, it's a much better commission structure, like, is that just business? Is that like the cardinal sin to like start?
It's real life. I mean, we get calls all the time. It's actually funny because Zach Goldsmith in the episode where he's talking to Ben about, you know, just life and what Ben's going through, Zach just joined the agency and he was with Hilton and Highland, which is an incredible brokerage, for 14 years. So people do move around. I would say that I know our crew is very happy with the agency. I first started at Hilton and Highland, actually. And again, it's a treasured brokerage. It's awesome. It's just the agency was more my vibe. But people do move around. A lot of people get calls, they get poached, they get offers. You know, there's some brokerages that will pay agents to move over. But I think we're all happy that that's not enticing us to move.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think Ben like was, you know, trying to use that to his benefit at the same time. We'll see. I just think that like, we've all been thrown offers. It's not like, oh, Ben, you got an offer. It's like, we've all been there. Like, you know, Compass calls. Let me give you
you're a not special, Ben.
I mean, I love you, Ben, but like, it's not like you're the only guy in there that's a wanted agent. I think we're constantly being, you know, recruited. That's part of the business. They see that you've done, you know, 50 million last year. You know, they're, it's people do move around and people are trying to incentivize you in many ways. So, I mean, I was offered Douglas Elliman, like you can have this, you know, front space office and X, Y, Z. But I think there's got to be more to a brokerage. And I think that there's a lot of turnover in most brokerages. At the agency, not as much because, you know, we're really good at retaining agents with our community. And so Ben can threaten all he wants, but I don't think he's getting a better actual deal anywhere else. I think he should be fortunate enough to be with the company because there is a no asshole rule. And
yeah. And real quick, in most other brokerages, especially the ones I've either worked at or been to, they have all these walls in between. Like we have glass walls at the agency. So everyone is like seeing each other, working with each other, asking people questions, like very collaborative.
It's just a different culture. It's like, it's kind of like Mauricio said, it's like this type of culture didn't necessarily exist. I mean, I know Compass has it a little bit, you know, I mean,
Compass is trying to emulate it. Let's be clear. Like, I think they're trying. I think people, some people went there thinking, ooh, they're offering me this and this. And they realized, oh, it doesn't really have that vibe because it's not something you can just pay for. This was he was very methodical on how he expanded the company. It was a boutique company from day one. And he tried to maintain that feel while slowly expanding. And we still have, I mean, we still have a say in who is part of this company and who's really a good fit, not just because they sell X amount every year, but because we all can feel like they're collaborative, they're honest, that we can trust the people that we're working with.
Yeah. There's 1500 globally. It's not 1500 in the Beverly Hills office. So again, very selective.
What about like Melissa, you mentioned you work for Hilton and Highland, that other person in that scene, I forgot his name. You just mentioned
Zach.
So he just came over from Hilton and Highland. Is there truly this, like, of course you have to be a good agent. I get it. Mauricio is not just going to hire anyone, but is there this like rivalry that exists between Hilton and Highland and the agency? Just because look, everyone knows the backstory of Mauricio and Rick Hilton and Kathy and Kyle, like we've all heard it. It's all out there. Like, is there, or is that just totally exaggerated or on the ground, boots on the ground in LA? Is there this, like, you work there, we're kind of interested in you?
I know that, you know, there's respect there and that's all I'll note on. I know that they respect each other, but that's something that I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think there's like, I don't feel that Mo feels competitive with anybody, to be honest. He knows where he stands. I think we're very different. We're really a different brokerage than Highland. And, you know, even Zach, he came over and he came to Forum and he goes, wow, after all this time, you all have been talking about why the agency is XYZ. And now I get why. But it's not because we're like, oh, we're better than, it's just, we're different. We really are different. And I don't know if it's that we're head to head with other people or another brokerage.
Yeah, I think every brokerage is
not comparable.
Yeah, I think every brokerage is competitive with each other, no matter where you are, whether it's Compass, Hilton Highland, Douglas Elliman. But there still is that respect there for all the different brokerages and different agents. And I also have to say that just because, for example, Zach, not to just keep mentioning him, but he moved to the agency and he's like, wow, this is a great decision. But there might be someone else who moves over to the agency and they're like, it's great, but I'd rather be over here. And that's fine, right? The agency's not for everyone. Hilton Highland's not for everyone. Compass, I can go on and on, but I think to each their own. And I'm always very gung-ho and for the agency, but whoever wants to be somewhere else, I hope I do a deal with you.
I love how out of every question I've asked you, that was the one where there was a pause and there was silence. I didn't think, but
I mean, it's just, well, yeah. Like, listen, they're family and like, you know, of course, I mean, is there family drama with every family? Yeah, there's always going to be some drama in some way. And I think that, I don't know why people are so, I mean, I guess I know why, but people are so like interested in that relationship. But like, I don't think you should discount why Mo is where he is. There's a lot more backstory to it that not most people, you know, listen, you think you know people, but the truth is like, we don't, right? Like we know what people are willing to share and show, but a lot happens behind closed doors. So that's like their family stuff. And I don't think there's any hatred towards each other. I think it's, like I said, we're two different brokerages and yeah, we can both succeed in the space, you know?
I agree. And I mean, there's how many offices worldwide and how many countries? So I mean,
60 plus offices worldwide.
Yes, 1,500 agents.
In five plus countries, I think. I mean, we expand. I feel like every week it's like a new opening. So yeah, it's amazing.
But they still maintain that boutique feel.
Right, which they do. Did you guys, like when we started, I asked you if you had any reservations, like being businesswomen and this is your real business. Like, did you guys watch like a lot of reality TV before this? Like, are you fans of the genre? And if so, what did you watch?
Great question. So James, you know, James Harris and David Parnes on Million Dollar Listing LA, they're with the agency. They've been there for years. So of course we watched and supported them. I actually was on like three episodes for like 10 seconds each. So I caught my claim to fame. But no, I mean, they were hysterical to watch. I'm excited to see what they do next because they're not on it anymore. But we watched that. What else is there? Oh, Selling Sunset. So I don't watch Selling Sunset because when we had our show, I was like, I feel like it's going to make me feel like I should act a certain way. And I want to go into it being myself and natural. And I give so much credit to those girls. They're killing it. And the Oppenheims, they've been so supportive of us. Like they came to the premiere. They're awesome. And I give them all the love. I just didn't watch it because, again, I felt like it would make me feel like I should act or say a certain, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you specifically just wanted to come in natural. And I guess if you never watched it and then you watched it once you got this job, you probably would subconsciously at best affect you.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, I mean, I'm in Dallas, you know, I live back and forth and everyone here is huge Selling Sunset fans. Like it's a great show. I mean, they're killing it. So just because I haven't watched it again, I'll give them all the love though. And hopefully they understand why.
And of course we've seen The Housewives because obviously Kyle's on it. So
God, love The Housewives.
We obviously love her. She's freaking OG. And it's funny when Farrah was going on, she was like, girl, what are you nervous about? Like, your mom is like the OG housewife. Clearly it's in your blood. You know, Farrah can be shy. You know, she's maybe more reserved and very like serious with her business and all that too. So anyways, we definitely watch Housewives, right? I mean, my husband
allowed me to watch
a lot of things in the house, like reality, but you know,
I have a funny one. A funny one. Okay. So I was a huge fan of like Rock of Love with Brett Michaels. Have y'all seen that?
Yes.
I know this. Okay. So Cindy, who is like rodeo, she works at the company. So at Forum, I'm walking down the halls and I see this woman in a cowboy hat and I'm thinking, oh my God, she's from Rock of Love. And she works at the agency in the Atlanta office.
I don't think so I get
that. Oh my God, she's hysterical.
I watched it. I don't think I would recognize her.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that shit. Like Tila Tequila, Double Shot at Love. I love that stuff. Like I love reality TV.
You love your VH1 series.
Oh, yeah. I love my VH1. Cool. And The Challenge, Are You the One? All that shit.
I mean, I was a big like Singled Out fan back in the day. Is that reality TV?
I dated someone from Ari the One and he was a total catfish, but that's a whole other story.
Well, you know, we do have one of the best reality TV, of course, Selling Sunset and Buying Beverly Hills and all the Netflix shows, but we also have another absolute classic reality TV show, The Hills. Allie, are you aware of that, Melissa, that you're co-worker here was on The Hills back in the day?
I was saying, when I saw her walk in to meet with Mauricio years ago, I was like, I know her. She don't know me, but I know her from The Hills.
Do you not?
Yeah, what?
Go on. I didn't mean to
I was
interrupt
just
you.
gonna say, like, I feel like it's almost like there's such a like blip, like a small. The funny thing is this. So my ex, who I'm sure maybe you're aware of, Doug Reinhardt, which I dated for 14 years off and on, we were engaged and all the things. He was on the show and his sister, they were on Laguna Beach and all the things that I really avoided being in reality TV for so long. I was like, I don't want a part of it. I don't want to be part of it. And then there's so much backstory to my life that I've never shared. Maybe on another world. I just don't know if I want to drum a lot of it up. But I was like, I don't want to be in reality TV. I don't want to be in reality TV. I got basically sucked into somehow being on the Hills. And in no way did I want to be part of it. It happened. I literally walked into a birthday that was happening and they were filming. And next thing I know, there's like people, talking because I do have a real history with someone on the show. And not like a real history, like something really happened. It's really silly, but she created much more out of it. And yes, I feel like totally different experience being on that show. It was like I was thrown into the wolves to be like this dramatic, character on the show. And to this day, I forget that people are still like, oh my gosh, we're on the Hills. Cause it doesn't feel like it feels like it was such a like little part of my life and that like I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But clearly, people were really loyal to that show and it was, they remember. So yes.
Has it come up a lot? And do you hate when people bring it up?
Yes, because the storyline, I mean, like, no offense, but like that wasn't real. Like, I feel like it's hard for me. Like, people have been like, oh, come on, do the show. I just don't want to start things with people and their lives because now people have moved on, they've had kids. I mean, even now, like Kristen, let's just call it what it is. Kristen, right, is best friends with my old hairdresser who moved to Nashville, Justin Anderson.
Yes.
And they're really close and we've talked about it. And it's funny. He's like, you guys are similar. You have three kids. She has three kids. We're older now and we've moved on from that past, but there's definitely more story to our knowing each other. And when I walked into that show and they like created the storyline, I have to say, like, I was fooled because they were like, oh, she's talking like this. And I'm like, trying to like defend myself. I'm like, that didn't happen. But they cut and paste and use whatever they want from the show. Then they said, come back and we'll let you tell your story. Well, I came back to tell my story. And of course, they cut all that too and just used the parts they wanted to use to create their storyline. So unfortunately, it was not a good experience for me. I felt like it was very unfortunate for me to be put in that light. And then like the show ended. So it was like I never got like this chance to be like, wait. It was just, I was meant as this character, and then it was kind of over. So, yeah, I think that's also why my hesitation with coming on this show. I was like, I don't want to do that again. That wasn't very fun. And yes, people still ask to this day, like, what happened? What's the story? Did you break into Brody's house? Like, all that stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I like forget that that's like what was said in the show. Cause I'm like, it's very far from any truth. I'm technically not even supposed to be like saying the real like storyline, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm legally allowed to say or if I'm allowed to say. But listen, Adam Duvall, I have to give it to him. He creates great dramatic shows that people really get into. And I know people were very serious about that show. So I, for a while, was ugh, like I didn't want to even be like seen out because I was like, I don't want to be associated with that. But at the same time, there's people who've also followed me from that and have loved watching my story and been like, wow, this has been such a cool journey to see you like leave a toxic relationship and like, start in a new business, have kids, have my own successes and a new life essentially. So sorry, that was a long-winded answer, but
No, I mean, I get, listen, it was over a decade ago. Yes, Kristen said you broke into Brody's house and called you pure evil and that you seem like a 45-year-old woman that smokes several packs of cigarettes a day. Now we all are a little older. I don't know what's so wrong about being a 45-year-old woman,
lot of fun, wasn't it? Like a lot of fun. Great.
but I understand, like, I mean, yeah, you're a successful real estate agent and you're not with Doug. And it's like, guys, it was 10 years ago, right? And, so.
But 10 years ago and like old, like not real reality. I mean, talk about difference in shows. Like I said, he created a great show, but it was a show. this to me, what we're doing right now is reality. And so unfortunately, yeah, I feel like I was used as this character that I would like to erase, but
well, it is. Three things. A, it's over and it's yes. in the past. B, now everyone is going to be talking about you from before things. Now everyone's going to be talking about you as a super agent at the agency from buying Beverly Hills. So there you go.
Yes.
Third, the next time you come on this podcast, we never need to mention this again.
I feel like I need to give a tell-all, by the way. Like, because people have asked me if I would like do an interview. I just, like I said, I don't want to hurt people or tarnish someone's. I mean, listen, I had to deal with it. I remember seeing Brody. It's funny. I saw him like at like the grocery store with Avril Lavigne back in the day. And I was like, so annoyed. I'm like, I can't believe you did that to me. Like, you knew that was going to happen. And he's like, oh, come on. We've all been known as, you know, we've all had to play that role at some point where we get fingers pointed. I'm like, yeah, but that wasn't even the truth. Like, you should have stuck up for me. But the thing is, at that point, everyone was just looking for someone to be.
You're like in the frozen food aisle and having
literally. And I remember he was with Avril at the time, like maybe they were dating anyways. So, you know, it is what it is. I think we've all moved on. I'm still friends with Lo, who I love, and I love watching her and her success and all of that. So, you know, it's unfortunately it'll always be what it was, but maybe one day I can give a tell-all book and give the true story.
Well, first of all, just picturing Brody Jenner and Avril Lavigne in the frozen food aisle. That is like Bristol so early, like 2000s.
Really. What do they say? Stars, they're just like us.
Yes. Well, you know, by the way, like Brody and I dated. Like, I don't even remember if that was on the show.
I think a little bit.
Okay. So we did. I was in college. Doug and I had broken up. That's how this all kind of started. But anyways.
Well, this was the fourth thing too, before we move on. Do you want to say any, I mean, I know Justin Anderson, I guess, is trying to, you know, get you and Kristen together, but is there anything you want to say to Kristen here today? Do you want to send her a message?
Honestly, like, I wish her nothing but the best. I'm not one of those people. I have no bad blood with anyone on this planet. I don't believe in that. I think everyone has the ability to live a very happy, successful, amazing life. And I would never want to put that weight on myself. I mean, even my ex, like, we're friends, like, I'm friendly with everybody. So I hope for her nothing but the best. She seems like she's got three great kids and she's really done well for herself in the avenue that she's taken. So no bad blood. And hopefully we can squash things out at some point in our future, just so that I hate that there's that like negative energy, you know, that's still there that it was never talked about. So who knows, maybe season two, we can go house shopping together or something in LA.
I was just going to say, maybe she needs a place in LA. Yes. You know, you're perfect. A familiar face.
Yes.
What is the state of the market in LA? Like, is it a buyer's market, sellers? I mean, I live in New York City. I hear so much about the LA market. Like, what is the market like there?
You know, the market, as long as things are priced well and it's a good product, things are still moving. I mean, there's still reasons for people needing to sell. There's divorce, there's career change. You know, there's all different reasons for that. And I think LA is still an incredible place to live. We're definitely seeing a bit of a correction. It's not like it was last year where it was just like fire sales all over the place.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
that was wild, but it was also just not sustainable. So at some point there needs to be a more sustainable market for buyers and sellers. With interest rates being, you know, higher right now, people are a little bit, you know, fearful of making that step. But I think seasoned buyers that know what they're doing know there's also a really good opportunity right now to get a deal, to negotiate. You know, they're in a better place where they can actually see a property multiple times, not have to make a blind offer on something. They don't have to remove all their contingencies. So it's a safe buying market, in my opinion. And like I said, as long as it's priced well, I just sold something and it sold, you know, almost $250,000 over ask. We had six offers in the first week. So again, it just needs to be done right. And I think it's actually a fairly good opportunity to get something great without too much pressure.
Yeah. And I think with interest rates being high, you know, we learned something from a speaker at Forum, and what he said really stuck with me. And I'm telling my clients, this is that you're dating your interest rate. You're not married to it. So you can refinance in a couple of years, you know, when hopefully things kind of calm down. So again, it's LA. People want to live in LA. So they'll do whatever they can to make it happen. So I don't think it's really, of course, it's kind of the times people aren't sure what's going to happen. And we realize that we wish we had a crystal ball, but we don't. However, I mean, it's LA. So I don't think that's changing anytime. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you mentioned earlier, Ellie, you did get a lot of flack from Farrah for, you know, bringing up this wedding, but it all ended well. She's engaged. I mean, yeah. Are you guys looking forward to Farrah's wedding? Anything you can share with
Hell
us?
Oh, yes.
How's the planning going? Yes. I imagine you guys are kept in. I mean, you live with her part time, Melissa. I imagine you're both kept in the loop on her wedding.
Yes. Yes. Well, I know that she has her dress and it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, no, planning has happened and or is happening, I should say. And so I'll have her reveal all the deeds. You should have her on here. She would love to meet you. That'd be really fun
to her. She would be a great chat. Well, listen,
great chat.
If it's going to be a party thrown by Kyle Richards, we all know it's going to be
gosh,
great.
Yeah.
Always a good time.
Would you guys love Housewives? I mean, what if one day, you know, you're busy with buying Beverly Hills, but what if one day in the future, you know, the phone rings and it's someone that says, hey, would you guys be interested in interviewing for this show?
That's actually funny. I did get that. Before I was on, God, it's so sad because I am the housewife now. I am now the 49, not 45. By the way, also, I will say this. When we filmed that show, I was actually 36 and they had my age wrong. Because I'm an idiot. And I was like, I'm 37. I truly, like, I can't remember my age half the time. So I told them the wrong age. So for the whole season last season, it said I was 37. I was really 36.
She aged herself.
I aged myself. Anyways, no, before I did the show, I was reached out to by the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And they asked if I would come in and you know, test for the show. And I'm like, it doesn't really seem like it's for me. But they were like persistent. They kept saying like, you know, just come in, you can just try it out. But I did not, which would have been weird. I don't know. Would I do it? I don't know.
I can see that
the space I'm in. I feel like, I mean, all those women, by the way, are amazing. And a lot of them have turned their lives into like careers and products. And I mean, Kyle is a really hard worker. So I don't know, never say never, but we'll see how this pans out.
When, I know you're busy and this show is not going anywhere because it's phenomenal. When did you hear from them and go in, like, when did you get a call for Housewives? Like right before buying Beverly Hills?
Oh my gosh. Well, originally it was like on social media. Someone actually reached out to my husband and said, hey, can you come test for buying or for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? And he's like, they responded to like his like stories or something. And he's like, do you mean this for my wife? They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. This happens to him all the time. People look at his stories and they think it's me. And like, sorry, yes, for your wife. And then they reached out and they're like, can we call you? And I can't honestly remember. I could probably find it if I really looked into this.
Just curious.
But I can't remember how long ago it was. It must have been after I had my second. And I don't think I was pregnant yet with Scotty, my third. But yeah, wild, right? And then I was like, does Kyle know like that's, you know, are they making that connect? Like, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I guess if you pursued it, you would have told Mauricio at some point, like, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, great. Are they going to pull me onto this show and make some, you know, make me be like some villain or laughing character? So yeah, it just wasn't for me. I liked the opportunity of this because, you know, I think it's great to be able to show women in business too. And like I said, something that my kids can hopefully one day look at and be proud of.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Does the vibe ever, you know, like whether you guys watch Beverly Hills, but like, you don't need to, like, you look at like this past season, like all the stuff between like, you know, Kathy and Kyle, and like, that has nothing to do with this show or like your job, but like, does that, because we all have a backstory, like, does that hush hush then come over the office, whether you watch it or not? It's on TMZ every day. And we all know how the media works and a lot of it's played up. But like, does that hush hush come over the office? Like, oh, there's Mauricio, like, shh, let's not bring this up. Like, it's get awkward. Or am I just making up this whole backstory on my own?
You're not. Clearly people ask about it. I feel like people got really upset about him sharing like how his business started. And the truth is, like, they can choose to show what they want to show the producer. I mean, but I don't think it's necessary to bring up anything negative that might have happened in the past or whatever. It's not something, I mean, I don't know, Melissa, it's not something that we see regularly. I mean, I know Farah, she's got her cousin Paris. There's a lot of intertwined life, right? Paris,
yeah,
my ex.
They're very close.
But they're really close. Cousins, yeah. So, like, they love each other. Yeah. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, there's always, like I said, there's some family drama. And unfortunately, it's all aired on TV and the tabloids and that kind of thing. But it doesn't really have any effect on.
Yeah, with us or anything. I honestly, you know, it's kind of like a don't ask, don't tell. We don't ask about any of that. We don't, like, in the office, it's really not like, oh, like, they're watching it. I watched the reunion. Like, it's not like that, you know? I wish we could have some spice for you, but we don't.
No, I mean, I figured it's a business and, you know.
Yeah.
What about, before we move on from this topic, like, is Farah concerned about her wedding, like, with Paris? Because, I mean, they are really close.
No, they're all so close. So, yeah. No. They all love each other. So, it's all, yeah.
So, hopefully
I don't
Paris.
Know anything else, but yeah. Again, I don't ask those things, and yeah, it ain't none of my business.
What do you guys want people to take away as we wrap up, like, as they watch this first season? For everyone who hasn't watched it, it's 8 glorious episodes. It is, you know, there's a little bit of drama, but there's lots of real estate porn, and like you said, I think the chemistry is great because you guys all really do know each other and work together, and the real estate porn. My favorite house of the season was that developer, that woman developer.
Dang.
That was my
incredible.
That was the one.
Yeah, Orem. She's unbelievably talented. I actually chatted with her for a long time. She wants to do a lot more in LA, but she also wants to look into Dallas too, which would be super sick. But what I would tell people listening to this is that there's a lot more story to be told about each of us. And obviously Farah planning her wedding too, which is super exciting for all of us. But yeah, again, there's so much more that we want to show. And I know it left on a cliffhanger with Sophia. We just spent a lot of time with Sophia at Forum, and she's studying to get her real estate license. But yeah, I don't want it to be done yet. So we're not going to let that happen. We made top 10 in 39 countries, which is insane. And so, you know, we're hoping Netflix gives us another chance because we know it'd be great for them and great for us.
And we're really hoping to get, you know, like, maybe Kyle or, like, David or James. Like, maybe we can get them on the show.
I talked to James at Forum, and I was like, hey, so you're not a millionaire listener anymore.
I know.
He said, we'll see.
I know Kyle would like to. So I think it'd be nice to see more. But I think, too, you have to understand with the first season, like, it's hard with the first. If you go back to any show on the first season, exactly. It's never usually like the juiciest season.
Or the full potential either. Yeah.
Because like you're still trying to figure out, the producers don't know you that well. They're still learning about you and the company and about the dynamic between the relationships. So it's like, you know, it's a work in progress because they don't know yet. And so they're all just trying to figure it all out and then put the show together. And so I think you have to give it that season to kind of just set it. And now hopefully be able to take off and show the real, like, good juicy stuff. And also, like, there's just been so much that's happened since the show. So I feel like it'd be,
yes. Know?
So hopefully we'll be able to share all of that.
I agree with that. I mean, you look at the first season of Selling Sunset and it was good, but I mean, we didn't have, you know, Christine Quinn, like one of the biggest villains in reality TV history. And like all this that's going on.
She's from Dallas too, by the way.
Icon. So yes. I agree. It's set a nice palette for, with Sophia coming in at the end for season 2. So there will be a season 2. We're going to put that out there because it's such a great show. Where can everyone follow you both online who wants to move and buy a house through one of you? You guys can co-list.
Both of us. We'll co-list in LA. Yes. And if anyone wants to move to Dallas, I'm here. Back and forth, obviously.
What's your social media? What's your Instagram?
My @Instagram is Melissa Platt with an underscore at the end.
And yours?
And mine is Allie Lutz. Just, you know, the way it sounds.
I will share it with everyone. I really appreciate you guys taking your time.
Thank Sorry you. This was so fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to an episode of the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast.
Yes, and we support of that, you.
You are my favorite guest ever. And yes. Keep in touch and you will come back next season.
You will. You're so cute.
Yes. Send it to all your friends. Have them rate, love it. And we're not done yet. So
I'm going to spread the word to everyone because I loved it. So
thank you so much.
Take care, you guys.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.